Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's the one that we are centered around this morning that we can have a cause and we can find those promises fulfilled in our lives as we heard about this morning also. It's good to be back with you again and my thoughts and prayers are with you often as a congregation, and I count it a privilege to be back here this morning, although I don't mind sitting back there and hearing somebody else preach. Wouldn't mind that at all, but I'd like to fulfill my responsibilities too. At home there, I have been going through the Beatitudes, preaching on each one, and this morning I'd like to look at the one in Matthew 5. There is where we find the Beatitudes, and verse 6 is where I'd like to focus our attention this morning on, where he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Excuse me. This morning I like to title the message, "Righteous Appetites." These are the words of Jesus, where he pronounces a blessing upon the people that value righteousness enough that is their diet. And of course, we know we're talking about spiritually. It says, "For they shall be filled," or they will be satisfied. There is fulfillment in a righteous life. This morning, I was inspired again at the promises of God as verses were read in devotions and also in the lesson where Abraham had to wait, I think, adult men's class, I think the thought was 25 years to have that promise fulfilled in his life. But I thought about, does our appetite spiritually have anything to do with fulfilled promises? Now, we know that there are promises in Scripture. We know that God is faithful. But are they fulfilled in our lives spiritually all the time? Well, we know that, of course, our obedience and our spiritual appetite does have a bearing on if those promises are fulfilled in our lives. As we think about appetites too, I had to think back to the first sin, where Eve partook of the fruit and did eat, and gave to Adam, and he also did eat. And it reflects upon an appetite. And of course, we can find some spiritual parallels there, where they wanted to be as gods, knowing good and evil, that Satan planted that seed before them, their desire to be that. So what does Jesus mean here when he talks about a blessing upon those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness? We think of this blessedness as having many avenues that we can be blessed, and he brings out a lot of them here where we can be blessed if we're poor in spirit, the humility. We can be blessed if we go through hard times. It says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Although maybe at times we would not ask for those times in our life when we did mourn, when we did go through a hard time, Jesus says here that you're blessed if you go through some hard times in life because you will be comforted. And then he goes on, "Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. And then blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And he goes on then about peacemakers and mercy, pure in heart, and so on. But this thought of blessedness comes in many ways. It does not depend on outward possessions, such as worldly goods or a high birth. There's no man or woman that is very illiterate, lonely, or poor that may not step suddenly into this life of beatitude and be blessed by simple obedience. We know that Christ lived this life before he described it, and he has opened the door to it. And one way this morning that we as his people can find a blessed life is by evaluating our spiritual appetite and seeing if we do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'd like to turn to John 4, maybe as a little introduction story to maybe what Jesus was talking about. John chapter 4 and verse 9, this is when he met the woman at the well, and Jesus was weary with his journey. He sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman from Samaria to draw water. In verse 7 it says, and Jesus told her, give me to drink. And at verse 8 it gives the explanation why he was there alone. He says that his disciples had gone to the city to buy something to eat. Then in verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So there was something a little bit out of the normal that happened here, and where a Jewish man asked a Samaritan woman to do something for her, for him. And she wondered at this. She wondered if, maybe, possibly, she wondered if Jesus knew that she was a Samaritan. Verse 10 is Jesus' answer, and he answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? So we have some response where Jesus said, well, if you would know who it is you're talking to, you'd actually ask him a drink. And then you would not have to come back to this well, and you wouldn't have to draw water at this well anymore. And this, of course, did not make sense to the woman. She said, well, I don't see that you have anything here to draw water with, and how are you going to give me something to drink? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us of the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And then Jesus in verse 13 answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. And here we have a very simple illustration that there is a spiritual application to physical drinking. And maybe Jesus was building upon this thought, that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Because he says here that if this woman would drink of the living water, She wouldn't have to continually go back to the things of the world to get her satisfaction anymore. There is naturally in our life a spiritual drought. There's a spiritual deficiency. Isaiah 29 and verse 8 says, you don't have to turn to that, but it says, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of the nations be that fight against Zion. You know, I think we've probably all had dreams already where we were doing things. When we woke up, we realized it was so far from the reality that has really happened in our life. And that the dream did us no good. And that is the way some spiritual experiences can be sometimes. I'd also like to point out here at the beginning that God does provide plenty. In the very familiar Psalm, Psalm 23, if you could turn there with me. A psalm that we probably know it by memory. But verse 5 simply says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." We have God's provision before us in a time when, I'll rephrase that. We have God's provisions before us, no matter what the outward circumstances may be. He has plenty there to provide, and it says even that his cup runneth over. Isaiah 55 is some more verses I'd like to look at in relation to God's provision. How God does provide for us. Isaiah 55, verse 1. It's an invitation for us to come to God and let Him satisfy our spiritual appetites. And He says this in verse 1 of Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." God's provisions are there and ready and waiting, without money and without price. And he asked the simple question, "Why do you spend your money for things which are not bread? And why do you labor for things which satisfy not?" And we know that in humanity and in our lives and in my life, that there is always a carnal inclination in me that will take me to spend money for that which is not bread. And my labor for things that don't really satisfy, even though for a moment they may. I wanted to go over to verse 10, actually. Isaiah 55, verse 10. It says here, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God's purposes through his word will be accomplished, and it will provide bread for the hungry soul. The one that desires to hunger and thirst after righteousness, there is abundance there that they shall be filled. As I think about appetites, if when I mention the word appetite, what comes to mind? If we think of the name Esau, along with appetite, you probably know where I'm going. What comes to mind? Was Esau controlled by his appetite when he sold his birthright? There in that moment of weighing that decision of spiritual and physical, of which one he valued the most, it seemed like that, well, we do know that he sold his birthright. How does the Bible say? For a mess of pottage, I'm not real sure. But I'd like for us to just get a glimpse of the power of appetite. and the value we put on satisfying that hunger and that thirst, that appetite that we have. And I'd like for us to, and me, to evaluate our spiritual appetite, the spiritual needs and the longings. And we know that that the world has many avenues to try to satisfy their appetite. You know, the millions of dollars that are spent on sports and there's lots of things. The malls are full of world's efforts to try to fulfill their appetite. Some appetites, and now I'm thinking about what you have cultivated, what I have cultivated to eat and to drink spiritually. Some of those appetites will not, maybe I should reword that. Some of the things that we take into ourselves spiritually to try to satisfy those appetites will not fill. They will not satisfy. Some will only cause some indigestion and unhealthy spiritual living. Appetites can be developed. Brother Allen read this morning in Peter there, a newborn baby will desire to be fed with the milk of with milk, and so the new Christian will desire to be fed with the milk of the Word. There is a development of an appetite. And you take a man that was born and raised in Virginia and compare his appetite to a man that was maybe born and raised in China. There's a difference between what they think is necessary to fulfill that appetite. That's the physical side of it. But it's also true of us spiritually that there is a development of what we feel, of what does satisfy us. And that's why precisely Jesus said that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says, because then you will be filled. You will be satisfied. And a fair question for us to ask ourselves, fairly often actually, is, am I empty? Am I feeling dissatisfied spiritually? Is there emptiness in my spiritual life? And then that will directly have a bearing upon us looking at what we are taking in. If we are taking in the Scriptures and the Word of God and the fellowship of the saints and all those things that go with righteousness, we will be filled. But if we're taking in the junk food of the world, we're going to have a void. I'd like to talk about a balanced diet. Now, we know that there's a lot made today of balanced diet physically, and I'm not going to get into all of that. But imagine with me here in a month and a half that you were ready to, you came in the house and the Thanksgiving table was full. You were very hungry. You will be very hungry. You're looking forward to this Thanksgiving meal. But instead of turkey on the table, and instead of dressing and salad and all of those things that we really like, that we know is what gives us energy and fulfillment that satisfies the hunger. What if this table was mound full of ice cream? It was full of pies. It had candy everywhere. I think you would question a little bit the wisdom of the cook. Spiritually speaking, we have to maintain a balanced appetite. a balanced diet. And we need to heed the nutritional facts of the food that we are taking in. Now, I will say we know that it's not wrong to have a piece of candy. It's not wrong to eat a piece of pie. And it's not wrong to eat ice cream. We'll get to that later. But we know, and probably you moms and dads too, that you've had to help your children when they have sat down at the table and they grabbed a cookie off the plate and they wanted to eat that first. And you had to tell them, no, wait. You put the cookie aside, and after you've had your mashed potatoes and your salad, then you can eat the cookie. That is what I'm talking about spiritually. We need to be sure that we get the solid food of the Word of God in our life. And there is a place and a time to eat the cookies. The sweets and the desserts. But there's also a time to eat the vegetables. There's a time to eat the meat and the fruits and the things that maybe we have to develop to like sometimes. A balanced diet spiritually will know the value of the staple foods. The Word of God and the solid brotherhood relationships and the work of the Holy Spirit within me, the prayer time, and the praise that it comes out of my life. And maybe we could liken the sweets and desserts a little more to the highlights on emotional experiences. You know, no, there's not wrong to have a highlight emotional experience. But if we are looking to that as our main course, we will not be satisfied. If we are, maybe sweets and desserts can also be likened to having a good time rather than a deep soul-searching experience and opening my heart to Almighty God and His Spirit that searches the rein. The Lord, search the heart to try the reins. The quiet study of the Word. Maybe a good time is the sweets and desserts. No, it's not wrong to have a good time. But if we feast on recreation and pleasure, if I live for the next event, and I work so that I can afford it, I think that the comparison would be that we're sitting down to a Thanksgiving table heaped with pies and ice cream and candy. You know, those things are not wrong. And I'm going to be careful to say they are not wrong in themselves. But what are they developing in my life? We want a balanced diet. We want to love the Word of God and spend time every day in it. A balanced diet will reflect that we enjoy our personal time in prayer and devotion to God more than and more often than recreation and the good times and the what I would call the sweets and the desserts. It finds more fulfillment in submission than in self-promotion. The balanced diet will find more fulfillment in service than in pleasure. They that will be satisfied and that hunger and thirst after righteousness will look for ways to serve others and to help others more than requiring someone to help me. Now, we know that sweets are not wrong in moderation. I said that already. The things that we can enjoy But what is my spiritual appetite? What am I living life for? And what are the highlights of my life? What brings the most satisfaction in my life? Cookies and dessert need to be kept in proper place. And I want to talk about some of the desserts or the sweets that we need to consider their place in our spiritual diet. And I'm going to mention a few things, and maybe you are different than me. Maybe these affect you differently. You can put some other things in there, the things you struggle with. But I did think about business for me is probably a dessert. I really enjoy business. And I have to be careful that that is not my fulfillment in life. It's not the main diet that I take in, because I will not be satisfied. If I do not create in myself, if we do not create in us a longing for a closer walk with God and a time of prayer, and sometimes I think about this, that I generally do get done the things in business that I need to get done. It's a check that I've used. And how about my devotional life then? Is that, which is more important here? I think there are some commitments that come into play in all of these efforts that I do well to check on my spiritual appetite and what I am developing in my interest, in the things that I see as fulfillment to my spiritual man. You know, maybe I'll talk about this later too, but is it easier to miss a personal devotions than it is to fulfill another sweet and dessert appointment? You see what I'm trying to weigh here? You understand what I'm saying? Maybe you're different than me, but I think priorities have a huge bearing on developing our spiritual appetites. What we think is important, we certainly will do. I think about recreation. In business, in recreation, in all of these, there is a place for that. We know that. But it's keep it as a dessert. Let's keep it as a treat. Again, not as a main course. Not as a staple of our diet. And there are various forms of recreation, and some enjoy hunting, some enjoy fishing, some enjoy scrapbooking, some enjoy putting quilts together. You put whatever in there. But there's a place for that. But I'm trying to help us get a picture of what we like, we feed. And the importance of keeping that in its proper place in our spiritual lives. We need balance, and we need to help each other. And I think that we would do this to each other if you worked with me and we sat down for lunch on the job. And you saw that day after day, I got out of my lunchbox a candy bar and a very high sugar content drink. And I had that for lunch, day after day after day. I hope you would tell me what effect that's going to have on my physical health. And the same thing is also true, and I will actually say it's more true in the brotherhood, as we're talking about spiritual appetites. That if there is time after time, I am putting more emphasis on recreation, on business. You put whatever in there outside of the staple food of the Word of God. We do have an obligation to help each other in that. Do I ever restrain myself on desserts or treats because I haven't had main course? Have you ever done that? I tried to ask myself that question honestly, and I think I have. Spiritually, I'm talking about. Have I deliberately set aside a legitimate piece of pie and abstain from enjoying it because I have not partook of the ham and potatoes or of the vegetables, of the thing, of a recreational experience because I have not had my personal devotions? Is that too idealistic? Or are we actually serious about developing spiritual appetites that fill us? Practically speaking, a high view of self-satisfaction events, which we talk called the desserts and the sweets, and a low view of spiritual interest, which we called the staple foods, it will produce spiritual sickness. The laws of God are set, and it's not my ideas. It's the way that it's very clear in scriptures. And, you know, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And I thought about this, and I didn't think about it, actually, until I preached this message at home. And somebody reminded me of this verse. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, when they were not partaking of communion properly, they had not done their self-examination, they had not got their life in order. He says, "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And I believe that there's a direct relationship between our spiritual interest, spiritual appetite, the whole Word of God, and the weak and sickly that we can allow ourselves to become. I'd like to talk yet about addictions. And of course, maybe this is just a little bit on the sideline of balanced appetite, but on the other hand, I don't know that it always is. I wonder sometimes if I am, or maybe we can, become addicted to caffeine or put whatever in there. But I'd like to talk about addictions just a little bit. I was building a road for a customer, and the neighbor man came. It was in the hills, up in the mountains, a little bit more of a rougher area. It was known as a little more of a, maybe some rougher characters lived there. And as I was building this road, this man came, the neighbor man came walking down to me there. And I got out of the machine, and I actually was a little bit hesitant to get out. He walked toward me, staggering a little bit, and he was very hollow-eyed, shaky. And I got out and talked to him, and his voice would quaver. He wouldn't look you in the eye. You could tell that there were addictions in this man's life. There was, and that's been confirmed since then, so that I'm But it was just evident, just looking at him, that there were addictions. But the question that really I think I need to ponder and we need to ponder is that is there addictions in my life spiritually? And they can be a lot of things. You know, this man, I'm going to say, if he was addicted, he did that to try to satisfy an obvious need in his life. He was not filled because he had to do it again and again. And it was an empty life. Spiritually, we have needs in our life. And let's not turn to addictions to try to satisfy and fill those needs in our life. The emotional experience that addiction, that cocaine, whatever it is, brings on us, becomes so addictive we have to go back and do it again because we love the experience. You fill in the blanks in your own life. Is there a need in my heart that I pet, I gather cocaine for, and I foster it? We will become shaky spiritually. We will not be able to walk straight. We won't be able to look at each other in the eye. And we will not be able to communicate right with each other. If I have spiritual addictions that I am petting, I'd like for us to ponder, is my spiritual diet balanced? If not, what am I going to do? Are there sweets in my life that would be good if my... Are there sweets in my life that it would be good for me spiritually if I would cut them out? The tendency physically and spiritually is to tend towards unhealthy diets, not naturally. I'm not naturally inclined to eat too healthy. I'm not naturally inclined to spend too much time in my personal devotions and in prayer and in fellowship with the saints and in communing with God. That is not my natural tendencies. I'm going to read you a story. Thomas Custine's history, The Three Edwards, described the life of Reynold III, a 14th century duke in what is now Belgium. This man was grossly overweight and commonly called by his Latin nickname Crassus, which means fat. After a violent quarrel, Reynold's younger brother Edward led a successful revolt against him. Edward captured Reynold, but did not kill him. Instead, he built a room around Reynold in the Newkirk Castle and promised him he could regain his title and property as soon as he was able to leave the room. This would not have been difficult for most people, since the room had several windows and a door of near normal size, and none were locked or barred. The problem was Reynold's size. To regain his freedom, he needed to lose weight. But Edward knew his older brother, and each day he sent a variety of delicious foods. Instead of dieting his way out of prison, Reynold grew heavier. When Duke Edward was accused of cruelty, he had a ready answer. "My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave whensoever he wills." Reynolds stayed in that room for 10 years and wasn't released until after Edward died in battle. By then, his health was so ruined, he died within a year, a prisoner of his own appetite. Today, we have an Edward. And we can let, or we are, found in a room. And this Edward is bringing to us platters full of desserts and sweets. And my question is, are we properly discerning our appetites? Are we properly discerning what is spiritually nutritious so that we can escape the prison and we can be part of the kingdom of God? 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Job said in Job 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Does God not provide a bountiful platter that is full of staple foods that will satisfy the hungry soul of man? Psalm 81 and verse 8, there's some other verses I'd like to read. Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. God's hand is there that he wants to give us what we need to be satisfied. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Malachi 3 yet, verse 8. Maybe verse 10 we'll read. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It is the heart cry of God to fulfill the hunger pangs of those that desire to be filled with righteousness. We have a future promise also in Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You know, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness today, we have the promise that we will eat of the tree of life. And it will be a blessed experience. It says it's in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's kneel together for prayer.